Thank you. Please be seated. A preacher by the name of Matthew Rogers writes, "When I consider the story of that first Palm Sunday, I was struck by the thought that a coat might not be worth much after a donkey walks on it. And in a crowd like that, there was no guarantee that once you laid it down, you were ever going to get it back." As I read the text for today's gospel, it led me to believe that those people weren't interested so much in their coats when Jesus rode by. No, these were poor people, many of them probably very poor. They appeared to be more concerned with worshiping Jesus Christ than with the donkey walking on their coats. Now, to give you a bit of context as to where we are, we go back to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. Jesus twice foretold his death in verses 21 and 44. In verse 28, we read of his transfiguration, which we celebrate on February 27th, the last Sunday in the season of Epiphany. Then in Luke 9, 51, we read, "When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem." This is the first mention made that he was going to go to Jerusalem. The second time is in chapter 13 and a third in chapter 17. In chapter 18, verse 31, Jesus foretells of his death for the third time. Reading, "And taking the 12, he said to them, 'See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. For he will be delivered over to the Gentiles and will be mocked and shamefully treated and spit upon. And after flogging him, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise.'" Jesus did not mince any words when he spoke. He told it like it was going to be. In Luke chapter 19, verse 1, Jesus and his disciples continue their journey to Jerusalem, entering Jericho, about 20 miles east-northeast of Bethphage and Bethany. In Jericho, he encounters Zacchaeus, the rich tax collector, whom he restored to faith. Now that you know where we are in the story, have an idea where Jesus is in his journey to Jerusalem, we begin our reading of today's gospel, Luke 19, 28 through 40. "And when he had said these things, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. When he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount that was called Olivet, he sent two of his disciples, saying, 'Go into the village in front of you, where you are entering. You will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever yet sat. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks of you, why are you untying it? You shall say this: the Lord has need of it.' So those who were sent away and found it just as they had told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner said to them, 'Why are you untying this colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of it.'" Now, in any modern story, we'd find out to be the secret password.
Yeah.
And that's what it was. Because once he said that, there was nothing else that needed to be said. In these verses, we see several things. First, Jesus, knowing all things, not only knew that there would be a colt tied there and that the colt had never been ridden, but as some commentaries indicate, the young colt probably represents purity. In that first, it was young, and second, it had never been ridden. Being pure would surely be appropriate for Jesus as he was to begin his entry into Jerusalem as the sinless sacrificial lamb who would die for our sins. Third, knowing the heart of all mankind, he knew that the owners of the colt would question the taking of the colt, but would not object to him taking it once they knew the secret word: "The Lord has need of it." But there is another thing that we need to consider in this story. There were no Uber chariots in those days that they could just call it in and get a ride, not have to walk all that way. But why a colt? The foal of a donkey. Part of that we could assume from the previous comments about the purity of this young foal. But there was a much more important part behind the story. In the early days, the donkey was the best means of travel, whereas there were very few horses, and they were very, very expensive, and they were used by the rich and the powerful. You might remember in the book of Job, Job at his restoration received twice as many donkeys as he had at the beginning of the book. He started with 500 female donkeys and ended with 1,000. And that story, coincidentally, was part of our lesson from last Wednesday's Bible study. The Jewish expectation of the coming of the promised Messiah would be that he would be a conquering hero riding on a great horse, coming in power and might. That is what the conquering kings would do when they rode into a city that they had captured. Coming in, riding on a great horse. Historically, entry into the city on a donkey signified peace. Rather than coming as a conquering king, King David himself rode a donkey. Jesus came not as a great conquering hero, but as the Son of the living God, humble and meek, riding on a colt, the foal of a donkey. When it says he comes meek and lowly, the significance is that he did not come with an army of warriors prepared to go into battle, but as a man of peace. And there's another point here. The messianic prophecy of Zechariah, found in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. This prophecy was probably given over 500 years before it was fulfilled in the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, as recorded in today's gospel. Reading from Zechariah, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king, your Messiah, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." 500 years before it happened. Another key point, the faith of the disciples who Jesus sent out to do the bidding to obtain that colt. They didn't stand around making excuses saying, well, what if the owner says no? What do we do then? Or, well, what if he attacks us for trying to steal his colt? No, they had faith in Jesus. They had faith in what he was telling them. And as he sent them out to do his bidding, they went without challenging him, without questions. And the words of Jesus were fulfilled. Continuing with verse 35, "And they brought it to Jesus, and throwing their cloaks on the colt, they set Jesus on it. And as he rode along, they spread their cloaks on the road." Fulfilling the command of Jesus, they brought the colt to Jesus. Although there were saddles at that time, they had already been invented a long time ago, but they were crude and out of reach for most people. Therefore, people probably just placed their old clothes on the back of the donkey to give them a little softer ride and to protect the back of the donkey. As we read in verse 34, the disciples removed their cloaks. Remember, the disciples were itinerant. They had no hotel. They had no rooming house. They had no closet with another change of clothes. These were the only clothes that they had with them. And their cloaks served as their blankets to keep them warm at night. And they placed their cloaks on the colt for Jesus. They gave what they had. Others with them spread their cloaks on the road to offer a more glorious and softer ride down the Mount of Olives. Verse 37, as he was drawing near, already on the way down the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Shut them up." But Jesus answered, "I tell you, if these were silent, the very stones would cry out." What can we take away from today's gospel reading? How do we apply it to our daily lives? We can be obedient. Be obedient to the Lord and what He has instructed us to do. The disciples were obedient. They went with Him and they did His bidding. We can have faith in His words. If the disciples had not had faith, they would not have stayed with Him. The two would not have gone and retrieved the colt. They would not have led Him in the procession. We can be praising Him. There is no higher praise than to do the will of the Lord. Praise can also include the praising of the Lord as they went down the mountain. The praising that we do here in church, the praising as we do the will of God. We can give sacrificially. The disciples used their own garments to honor the Lord by providing Him with what they had. The people also cast their cloaks before the colt in homage to Jesus, along with palm branches and with other greenery. That does not come out of the reading from Luke. It comes from Matthew and Mark. But it was done because that was what they did in those days. When any king or dignitary came into town, they would cut off the branches of the trees and lay them down before them. Lastly, we can fulfill the mission that Jesus has given to us. The life and ministry of Jesus established for us, both then and now, the mission that we are to fulfill in His name, to take the Word of God into the world, that people everywhere might learn and know of Jesus Christ and how He lived and died, that our sins might be forgiven. Now at the end of church services, you are being sent out into the world. For those of you who were at the Foundations of Faith last Wednesday, remember, we are the ecclesia, the church, the sent out ones. We are the ones being sent out into the world, taking the Word of God into the world that all mankind might know Him, believe in Him, and be saved from their sins. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank You that You have given us Your Son, that by His death and resurrection, our sins are forgiven. Father, we just ask that You would continue to bless our hearts and bless our minds, to show us the way that You want us to go, to lay out before us Your path, Your word, Your love, and Your peace. And Father, we ask this in Your most holy and righteous and wonderful name. Amen.